We got a lot to get to with our guy, Ryan Horvath. Football Saturday starts with the BetMGM's tailgate kickoff. Ryan Horvath Show. He's back live, 9 a.m. Eastern on Saturday mornings, breaking down the lines, the last-minute injuries, and everything you need before the game start. Do they tell us anything about college football injuries? I don't think so. Watch and stream it everywhere across the BetMGM network. And don't forget, your weekend warm-up starts Friday with BetMGMU. RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, John Martin set the stage every week in the BetMGM Network YouTube page and wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm told that's on right after this show, but I didn't feel like that was told with the most authority. Like, were you guys believing that that's on right when this show ends at noon Eastern?
No. Honestly, I feel like what Kroll's trying to do there is he just wants all eyeballs on the product all day long, right? So we do know that there is a college football show coming up. We just don't know the exact time. So just watch the network for 24 straight hours until your eyeballs bleed. And at some point, you're going to get John Martin and the boys giving you all the weekly best bets, right?
Here's the thing, Horvy. We're promoting all these shows. Yeah. None of them are the flagship show of the network. We do know that. But please check it out, and maybe one day one of them can become the flagship show of the network. We've got Ryan Horvath here, BetMGM tonight. I'd say how you feeling, but man, you've got to be in a great mood after your team. You always criticize them for failing to make the big move, the Green Bay Packers. That was my first thought once I realized, oh, this is real. This is actually happening. Parsons coming to the NFC North, going to Green Bay. Horvy always yells at, they don't spend money. They never make the big move. They don't draft the right guys. They never get it done. And boom, they make the move of the year.
So here's where I've been screwing up, right? I always try to like come on the show and give you guys like facts and solid bets. I'm done with all that. From now on, hot takes. So I actually have to walk something back because Joe, when you were out, coaching the Little League World Series or wherever you were for 2 weeks, I was on with Sammy and with Kate, and I actually said that I would not bet the Packers to win the North. Then, you know, I started getting text messages and, you know, talking back and forth with a couple different people that cover the team, and everybody was like, I think this actually has some legs, and I think that they're going to go all in for Micah Parsons. And it was hard for me to believe because, you know, every other year they're in the mix for some sort of, you know, said player. It was Odell Beckham Jr. Years ago, it was Randy Moss, Tony Gonzalez. They didn't want to part ways with a third round pick for Tony Gonzalez in the prime of his career. But great move for Brian Gutekunst. And it makes complete sense, man, because last year you make Jordan Love one of the higher paid quarterbacks in the league. You spend a lot of money on one of the better safeties in the league. You go out and get a top five running back in the league. And, you know, there's some real issues, I think, in the secondary, or at least some concerns, because you say goodbye to Jair Alexander, your best cover corner. And I was worried about the secondary. But now, you know, you couldn't go out and trade for a stud corner, a lockdown corner, because those guys just aren't out there right now on the trade market. But for whatever reason, Micah Parsons was, and this is a great move, obviously, for Green Bay. You know, one of two players to have over 12 sacks the first four seasons of his career, the other being Reggie White. And, you know, you kind of sell to the locker room that you're going all in here for the next 2 to 3 years. This is your Super Bowl window. You know, with Jordan Love being, like I said, one of the higher paid quarterbacks, you go out, you spend a first round pick on Matthew Golden. They actually select a wide receiver for the first time in forever. So I have to walk back what I said, man, because I said the value is on the Minnesota Vikings or on the Chicago Bears. Now, that said, I think you missed the number. I wouldn't bet the Packers today at plus 170. You should have grabbed them last week when they were nearly 3-1. So maybe I would take a stab with Minnesota in the division at plus 320. But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like this move for Green Bay, man, because that was the concern, right? And now you have Rashawn Gary on the other side, and he hasn't really been a double-digit sack guy. He's been really good against the run, but he's been seeing a bunch of double teams. Now Micah Parsons is going to eat those double teams, right? And then you have Lucas Van Ness. So I think this is huge for everybody on the defensive side of the ball. So as long as Parsons stays healthy, man, I think the Packers win double-digit games, and they're a real threat in the NFC.
Just stay on the field. That's all you need. Stay on the field. Do not get hurt. Like, that cannot happen. I do have my concern, though. The Green Bay Packers are now priced like the second-best team in the conference, and that does not feel accurate to me. How about you?
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. I mean, you look at the rest of the roster, and I have some serious concerns about the wide receiver room. You know, I thought that was actually going to be a strength, but Jaden Reed, he's going to try to play through this injury. I just don't know that that's possible, man. So I think he's going to be a shell of himself this season, and you really need him because I like the LaFleur offense, but they really need the gadget guys. So I was excited, you know, for you know, Lloyd, the backup running back, and he's already hurt. Obviously, you like Josh Jacobs, but Christian Watson's not going to be back until at least like week 12, if we even see him this season. I like Matthew Golden. Everybody loves him. Everybody's betting him to win Rookie of the Year, but we've never actually seen him take a snap in a regular season game before. And, you know, he might be wide receiver number one. Romeo Doubs is solid, but he's probably at best a number two. I like the tight end room. And I also have some concerns, man, about the offensive side of the line. Elton Jenkins has been an all-pro guard, but now they move him to center. And that's been the issue, you know, the last year and a half. It's been Jordan Love staying healthy. So they got to keep him healthy, protect him. And, you know, we'll see how good the secondary is. But that's the thing. The price right now is way off at plus 170. I wouldn't bet them today. You missed the boat. If you weren't betting them plus 240, plus 260, because even 15 minutes after this trade went down, man, I went over to MGM, and they had the same price still hanging. An hour later, you know, it bumped down to plus 170. So you kind of missed the boat on Green Bay. I'd probably look elsewhere. You know, I've been making the case against Detroit because you lose both coordinators, more outdoor games for Goff. I don't really love the defense. Even last year with Aiden Hutchinson on the field, they really struggled to generate any pressure, and he led the league in pressure. You know, Minnesota, I like Kevin O'Connell a lot, man. And I don't think there's this going to be this big drop-off from Sam Darnold to J.J. McCarthy. So, you know, you give me $100, I have to make a bet on this division. It's probably Minnesota at plus 320, or I'm taking a stab on the Bears at plus 625. But I can't get, I know it's a preseason game, you guys. I can't get that Kansas City, the first half where Mahomes just carved them up. I looked up and it was 17-0 last Friday. I can't get that out of my head. So maybe Minnesota is the play right now.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that I like the move so much, not only being aggressive and going for it, from the Green Bay perspective, is I just look around and I looked at the very top of the board in the NFC throughout this offseason. I'm like, I don't love anyone. There are holes in all of these teams. And, you know, Philadelphia running it back after losing the OC, all the run with Saquon. They lose a lot of depth on defense. Detroit losing both OCs. You lose Ragnow. There's a lot of questions there. Yeah, they're going to be healthier than they were a year ago, but not 100% healthy. Not everybody's going to be back at the start of the year. How about San Francisco coming back from all those injuries? Are they going to be what they once were? Jaden Daniels, he's not going to do that on fourth down again this year. Like, I have questions about all these teams at the very top in the NFC, and it felt like the Packers saw that, saw the opening, and said, okay, it's time. Let's make the move. They were a top 10 defense last year. What are they now?
Yeah, I mean, they could be a top five defense, right? Again, like, my only concern with Green Bay coming into the season on the defensive side of the ball was the pass rush, you know, because they needed a big year from Van Ness, who hasn't proved anything. And I like Rashawn Gary, but again, he's been getting chipped and double teamed for the last 2 years, so the sack numbers haven't been there. Now with Micah Parsons, it makes everybody on that side of the ball better. If they fail, it's going to be because of injury. It's going to be maybe because of the secondary. Maybe the offensive line doesn't hold up. But, yeah, I mean, I like them going all in as well. I mean, because like I said, you just made Jordan Love one of the higher-paid quarterbacks in the league. In the first 2 years, man, there were excuses, right? Year one, they really weren't even supposed to be there. They beat Dallas in Dallas. Dallas hadn't lost at home all season long. They lose to San Francisco. Jordan Love throws some bad interceptions. It's okay because, really, it's his rookie year. Last year, you know, Jordan Love was never really healthy, so there's that excuse. But they spent a lot of money in free agency, obviously, on Josh Jacobs, you know, and on the defensive side of the ball last year as well. But, you know, we have the Philadelphia game. Jordan Love throws some really bad interceptions. Now there's no more excuses, right? Because he's getting paid. You draft Matthew Golden in the first round. You go out and trade for a top three edge rusher, maybe the best edge rusher in the league. So there's no more excuses. That said, they still wouldn't be my bet. I like San Francisco. They play the easiest schedule in the league. I like their alt win totals. It just comes down to, man, McCaffrey has to stay healthy. I bet his touchdown's over 7.5. I like him to win Offensive Player of the Year. And I think the defense, I know they don't have the most talented defense, but I still like Fred Warner. I like Nick Bosa. And I know Robert Saleh failed as a head coach, but I do like him as a coordinator. So I still like San Francisco, man. Even last year, Purdy missed two games, didn't have any healthy weapons, and almost threw for 4,000 yards. I think San Francisco bounces back this year.
You and I both have McCaffrey, O-P-O-Y, and Hampton, O-R-O-Y. What could go wrong there? You and I on the same thing. Any other future bets that you haven't talked about that you've thought about pressing? I know we pop a lot of bets into the app, and then we look at them and hover and can't get home. Are there any bets like that that you found yourself wanting to bet but you haven't been able to do it yet?
So, you know, one that I kind of want to grab right now is I already like Dallas over 7.5 wins. Now it's 6.5. I still think this team could win 7 games, man. What I worry about is, did you completely lose the locker room? And obviously I worry about the defensive side of the ball. It's hard to win in shootout fashion every single week. But, I mean, I already like Dak if he could stay healthy to lead the league in touchdown passes. You could get that 15-1, 16-1, I still believe. 2 years ago, when Schottenheimer took over as play caller, he led the league in touchdown passes. I hate the running back room. You add Pickens. You have CeeDee Lamb. I think Jake Ferguson has a bounce back year. He didn't catch a single touchdown last year. So I like the offense enough, man, but not without Parsons. I worry about the defense. But let's not act like that was a top 10 defense with Micah Parsons. Kenny Clark's still a solid player. He's 30 years old, so you probably get like 2 more good years out of him. But I kind of like Dallas, man, to win 7 games now that that win total has went from 7.5 to 6.5. And then I keep betting Arizona to make the playoffs. I'm really high on their offseason, although Walter Nolan's already hurt, which absolutely sucks because I worry about them against the run. And then Jacksonville, over 7.5 wins. I think at worst, man, their basement, their floor is 8 wins this season. I like the Liam Cohen hire. I liked him 2 years ago at Kentucky when he made Will Levis look like a real quarterback. I like what he did last year, obviously, with Baker Mayfield and the Tampa offense. And I think the defense will be better this year as long as they could stay healthy in the secondary. So my two buy low teams are Arizona to make the playoffs and Jacksonville.
Harvey, you go over the full card, of course, tomorrow morning, tailgate kickoff right here on the BetMGM Network. Throw us a couple of your favorite college football plays.
All right. So, you know, obviously on a Friday, a lot of these numbers have been hit. By the way, Sam, loved your work on Fox Sports 1 last night after the games. I stayed up, watched you and the Bear. Great stuff. So a couple that I bet. I got a lot, so I'll just throw you guys them all. Mississippi State, I bet at 11.5. They're now 13.5-point favorites tomorrow against Southern Miss. I love Northwestern at 6. I still like it at 4.5. I think they could beat Tulane outright. Northwestern brings back like over 60% of their production on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, they were top 30 defensively, 35th actually, so just outside the top 30. And they bring in Preston Stone, which I know it didn't work out at SMU, but he's an upgrade over anything that Northwestern's had the last decade plus. So we're going with Chicago's Big Ten team, plus 4.5 against Tulane. I like the over in Texas-Ohio State. Now you could get 46.5 minus 115. I like it at 47.5. Way too many athletes on that field to cheer for an under. I like USC laying a big number, 35.5 against Missouri State. And then, Joe, I think we're on the same side. I know everybody loves Clemson. I know it's been forever since LSU's won a week one game. I know now all of a sudden Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. He's a terrible coach. I like LSU to cover the 4, maybe even win that game outright against Clemson. Love Clemson this year as well, man, but they were 0-3 against the SEC last year. I think Brian Kelly's going to keep this game close. I don't think he's going to be banging the table at the podium after the presser in this one.
I keep seeing this line getting shoved down, and I it makes me nervous, but also these are often the games that just win for fun. This Ohio State-Texas game, they keep shoving. But the sharpest guys that I know bet under 50.5 and 50. They're not betting under 47.5 and 47. I mean, I respect it. Obviously, there's enough money to move that. But watch it be 31-30 now, and we just win for fun, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how it's been the last couple of years, right? I never feel good about closing line value, like the Northwestern game that I talked about. Not that a 1.5 is a huge deal, but 6 to 4.5 is a pretty big deal. And watch, they'll end up losing the game by 30 and it won't matter. With these totals, especially if you're betting FCS games, you know, last minute on Saturdays, man, sometimes you'll beat the market by like 10, 14 points and still lose the bet. But, you know, you obviously feel good when you got the better of the number. And I can easily see that game, Sam, being 13-10. Or being a complete shootout. I've been looking forward to that one. You know, I bet Texas early this summer at 3.5. Now I'm considering maybe coming back and playing some cheap Ohio State on the money line, but I don't want to sit on the couch with Jeremiah Smith and Arch Manning and, you know, all these athletes on the field and cheer for an under. So I think that game goes over.
Less than 30 seconds. Do you have any thoughts on your Cubs?
You know, I'm trying not to be too upset about it, because last night, you know, I was thinking about it like this. If you would have told me on August 28th, August 29th now, that they're a game behind the Dodgers, I would have accepted that. But it's just the Brewers, man. They never go away. It doesn't make any sense. The deadline pissed me off. Kind of out on Craig Counsell. Trying to stay positive, though.
Wow.
Right? Just make it to October, and I'll be happy.
They'll be there. They'll be there. Sounds great. There's Horvy, the Howard Stern book in the background. Appreciate it, man. Have fun on the show tomorrow morning. We'll be checking that out. Lightning Bets on the other side.